Okay, guys, let's start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. Okay. So, here we are. We're halfway through the retreat. All right, you now heard two out of the four talks, and we're halfway through. We're halfway through, and you now heard two out of the four talks, and you know right now that the main theme of this retreat is that we're talking about that Jesus came to give us a real life. And we're talking about how to get that abundant life. The first session we talked about together, what that abundant life is, and what the difference is between the two doors, and there's a door here and a door here, and we want to end up in this one, but the thief wants us to end up in this one, remember? And we said, I'm sorry? Sorry? The ice cream. Okay, yes. Yes. Okay, the thief is representing the devil. Remember, we said that the thief is the devil and he tries to steal, kill, and destroy.
Oh, so we're not talking about like the right-handed thief, right?
No. We're talking about the devil. Okay, so again, there's two doors, good life, and ordinary life, and life blessed by God. And we want to end up here, and God wants us to here, but the thief, or the devil, tries to trick us here. Some he uses ice cream, some he uses women, some he uses TV, some he uses whatever, but he's trying to push us all into this door. Alright, but we want to end up here. And then we saw this morning, when Shoy came and told us that the thief was coming to push us here, well luckily, someone came to rescue us. And that person is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. And He came into the world, and the only reason that He came is so that we would be know to go here. Okay? That we would be able to escape this because the thief is kind of tricking us. Now what we want to talk about today is we want to go a little bit further in that verse and try to figure out what that life is supposed to look like. So I know I want to choose here. I know someone's trying to distract me. I know someone is trying to push me here. What is this? All right, and how do I get started on this? I've been sitting with some of you in confession, and some people are coming and saying, you know what, Abun Anthony, you know what, I realize that I want to invest in my spiritual life. I want to get my spiritual life going. I want to get better. I want to grow. I want to do that. But the million-dollar question is, how? What am I supposed to do? How do I grow spiritually? What do I need to do? Like, what practically to do? Well, that's what we want to talk about tonight, is how to build that life. All right? How to start building. And I'm going to go back to a story. You guys remember about a year or two ago when we were building the new building, the Sunday school building, right? So, I don't know if you remember back then. I don't know how good your memory is. But, like, the first thing that they did... What was the first thing that they did before the foundation? Okay, remember? Yeah. Okay, they cleared out. That used to be all be trees. Remember? There used to be a fence, and that all. I don't know if you haven't been to our church, if you haven't been there for a while, you don't remember this, but there used to be a fence, and it used to be all trees and woods. We used to have trailers back there. Yeah, we had a shed and stuff like that. First thing they did was they cleared that. That didn't take them very long. They kind of cleared it out, and then they kind of made the ground all smooth, and then they started to work on what Carlos said, which was the what. Foundation. And how long did it take them to build that foundation? It probably took them, I don't know, probably took about 2 months. Where you didn't really see anything going on. You just kind of looked out there and there's people down there. Then they finished foundation. Maybe let's say it took like 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks. They started to build the rest of it. How long did it take to build the rest of the building? Not even. Once that foundation was built, the rest of the building went up in like 2 weeks. And I remember just being shocked at how fast they were going. And I couldn't believe it. The foundation, which is the part that you can't see, took them like 2 months. Then the rest of the stuff, the gym and the lights and all that kind of stuff, didn't take but 2 weeks. Do you know what that teaches me? The foundation is the most important part. Because it's the foundation that always takes a long time to build. And it's the same thing in your spiritual life. So if you want to have this... This is what you want. And how do I get it? Well, you know the first thing we need to do? We need to clear the land. Just like I said with the building. We need to get rid of all the garbage. That's what you guys are doing, coming to confession, saying, I hate this sin. I hate this aspect. I'm going to get rid of this. No more garbage. No more trash. No more girls. No more bad friends. No more this. No more that. I want to clear that out. All right, so that's great. And some of you, maybe you didn't do that in confession. Maybe you did that. Maybe you did that like a year ago. Maybe you did that last week. Who knows? You try to clear it out. But that's not it. Okay? That's only the first step. The next step is start to lay that foundation. And that foundation takes time. So, write this down in your handout. A non-ordinary life is built on the foundation of integrity, not love. Integrity. What is integrity? Ashraf, you're a military guy. What's integrity? They talk about in military, right? They talk about integrity. Okay. What else is integrity? Okay. We'll get to that integer stuff. You got a little bit above everyone's head here with X and stuff like that, but we'll get to that in a second. What'd you say?
Well, I was going to say honor.
Honor. Okay. What else? I mean, there's not one definition. A lot of times people say honesty is like integrity, which is true. Integrity is like honesty. So like Ashraf said, doing what's right even when no one's around. But I would take integrity even to a little bit further step than just honesty. I like what Ashraf said right there. I would look at it just kind of similar way. I say integrity is when your walk matches your talk. Okay? Your integrity is when your walk matches your talk. So all of us talk, yes, Abuna, I want to be good. Be good. Yes, Abuna, I want to get away from this bad friendship. Get away from the bad friendship. Yes, Abuna, all this talk. What integrity is when you take your talk and you make it into your walk. And you go from just talking a good talk into a good walk. A lot of times in the Bible, you'll hear this phrase, put off the old man, put on the new man. Maybe you've heard that before. Put off the old and put on the new. Well, you know what that is? That's exactly what integrity is. Integrity is not just talking the talk and saying, yes, I want to have the extraordinary life, and yes, I want a life blessed by God, and yes, I want all these great things, but integrity is taking off the old man, getting rid of the stuff that the blessed life has nothing to do with, putting that stuff off, and putting on what this life is all about. Okay? Basically, what I'm trying to say is, the first step to this, because what we said last night is knowing that this exists. This is step one. Knowing there's something exists here, and it's really, really good, and I want this. But that's not it. Step two is go out and get it, and change the knowledge into action. So that's what we want to talk about right now, is how to lay that foundation. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 36. It says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What we're talking about right now is going to be about your values, all right? And your values are what that foundation is all about, all right? It's another way of looking at integrity. Your values are what determine everything that you do in life. Your whole life is controlled by your values, all right? Values mean, when I say values, that means something that's important to you. So tell me what it is that your values is, and I'll tell you exactly where you'll be in 5 years. So someone, let's say, Joe comes to me and says, the most important thing in my life is my grades. I study really hard. And I say, a few years, he'll end up in a nice college with good grades, all that kind of stuff, because that's valuable to him. Someone else comes and says, most valuable thing to me is popularity, okay, is being with the in crowd. Then I'd say that person, they're probably going to commit some sins that they didn't want to do, but it was worth it just to be in the in crowd, just that people would look and say, you're cool. Some people would say, my values is my family. And I'd say, well, that person, you know, you're going to end up being really, really close to your family and really, you know what I mean? So your values control your success. You tell me what's important to you, I'll tell you exactly where you're going to end up. If the most important thing to you is your friends or your grades or girls or popularity or God or whatever, that determines what it is that you are going to be in a few years. Okay? So the goal for tonight, what we want to do is figure out if values is that foundation, all right, or integrity is that foundation, how am I going to lay a good foundation? How can I do a good job here? Now, first things first. If I'm talking about building a building, laying a foundation, is that easy or hard? It's by far the hardest part. Okay? It's very difficult to build a foundation. It's very easy to like add a nice little chandelier here. That's not too difficult. Or to like paint the wall. That's not hard. The hard part is go and fix the foundation. Foundation's cracked, that's a big, big deal. So what I'm saying tonight isn't gonna be easy. And what I'm saying tonight, I'll tell you right now, who can stop listening right now, who doesn't need to listen to this, is those who are weak. And those people who say, you know what, I don't care that much about my spiritual life. You know, I don't want to invest that much effort. Then you guys stop listening. Because what I'm not telling you right now is going to be like a real easy thing. What I'm telling you right now takes hard work and it takes effort, but it pays off. Because anyone who's ever built anything in life knows that if you have a good foundation, it'll pay off in the future. All right? But it takes a little bit of energy. Basically, what I'm talking about right now, this is Sheep 101. All right, what we're going to learn right now is the basics of how to be a sheep. We're going to go back to a kindergarten class of sheep and see how does a sheep start off? What is the sheep supposed to do at the very, very beginning? And we agreed that sheep are smart or dumb? Very dumb. So sheep isn't going to come here and say, no, I disagree, Mr. Professor. I think it should be this way. Sheep is dumb. Sheep says, yes, sir. Agree? Okay. With that, four steps. First step, in terms of laying the foundation of values for life. And when I say life, I'm talking about this. All right? So I'm not just talking about any life. I'm talking about this life. First step, choose your source. Choose your source. Now, your source is very, very important. Okay? Because the source determines the quality. For example, let's say I said I got a hamburger here. Okay, there's a hamburger inside here. Now, does the source of the hamburger make a difference? Well, let me ask you. Is there a difference between a hamburger whose source is McDonald's versus one whose source is Fuddruckers? Versus one whose source is Outback Steakhouse? Versus one whose source is Ruby Tuesday or Paul Hakim's basement or wherever. Okay? In and out, whatever. The source makes a difference, right? So where it comes from makes a difference. Agree? So each one of you gotta choose. Say, where is my values gonna come from? Now a lot of you would say that's easy. They come from church. My values come from church. Well, I'm telling you this, that if you don't choose where your values come from, they're not going to come from church. It's not going to come from church by default, is what I'm saying. You can't just go through life, because that's what we all do. We all have values in life, but most likely we never chose them. We just kind of went through life. We had a certain parent, certain school, went to Sunday school, and we just got a compilation of values from different bunch of places. And some people got it from more church, some people got it more from school, whatever. But what I'm saying is you got to make a decision and choose where it's going to come from. Because if you don't choose, where do you think it's going to come from by default?
Devil,
but specifically, how does the devil give us our values?
World.
No?
Love.
A specific thing. It's a box.
TV.
Let me tell you a little bit something about TV. So, the average American, okay, the average American watches 1,000 hours of TV per year. Average American. 1,000. Well, if you're a couch potato, maybe we'll give you 1,100, 1,200 for Danny here, okay? Average person living in America, okay, watches 1,000. And for Danny said, what? That's it. So couch potatoes, bump it up. Add another 10% and give yourself another 100 hours. Average American watches 1,000 hours. Now, if you do the math, by age 65, this average American will have spent 9.5 years in front of the TV. Alright? By age 65, 9.5 years in front of the TV. Now, by the same token, let's say,
what if you watch less than 15 minutes a day?
Then your number would be different, but I'm saying average. Okay? Now, the average American, like I said, by age 65, has spent 9.5 years in front of the TV. You know what? Let's do a little comparison. So let's say this average American is a good church-going boy. Okay? He's a good Sunday school student like yourself. And this average person goes to church, to Sunday school, for 1 hour every single week. Okay? 1 hour every single week till the age of 65. He now spent 9.5 hours in front of the TV. You know how many hours? You know how much time he'll spend in Sunday school? 6 months. 6 months to 9.5 years. So what I'm telling you is this. What I'm telling you is this. If you go through life and you attend every Sunday school lesson from now to the age of 65 and you listen and you spend an hour in there every single week, you will have spent 6 months in Sunday school and you will have spent 9.5 years in front of the TV. What I'm saying is this. If you don't decide, my values will not come from TV, it's going to come from TV. Because you're spending so much time there, it's going to influence you without you even realizing it. So what you want to do is the first step is say, you know what? I want to choose my source. I want a hamburger from this place. I want my values from this place. I'm not telling you not to watch TV. But what I'm saying is, when I'm watching the TV, I'm saying, my values don't come from the TV. My values come from this place. We must choose our source. Do you have a question?
No.
Okay. We must choose our source. There's basically two sources of values. All right. And TV represents one of them. And that's it. What it says in your handout. It's either the world or the word. You must choose where you're going to get them from. Am I going to get my values from outside of God or inside of God? Those are the only two choices. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. This verse is written 2,000 years ago. But tell me if this would be an accurate description of your school or maybe your neighborhood. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Let's be Amish.
We don't need to be Amish. But I think you can see that the world really hasn't changed much in 2,000 years, right? So everything in this world really is garbage and really is nonsense, is what this is saying. The world, if you ask the world, you ask the TV, you ask the internet, you ask the movies, you ask the radio, the magazines, what is the values that those things are preaching? What do you think they're preaching is the most important things in life? They're preaching three things are important. They all begin with P. Possessions, pleasure, and popularity. That's what the world preaches. The world preaches that if you don't have those three, you have no good. First, the world preaches pleasure, that we're a pleasure-obsessed society. And that's why sex and premarital sex is so high, because we're so obsessed with pleasure. We're so obsessed with a drug high. We're so obsessed with anything just to give me pleasure for a little bit of time. World preaches that if you're not getting pleasure, hey, you're missing out on life. You know, you have a right, you as an American have the right to, what's in the...
Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So each one of us has a right to happiness and to pleasure. And the world will teach you that. You know what the biggest business in this country is? What's the biggest... Thank you very much. It's pornography. Did you know that? I knew that as well. You got a problem? Why is pornography the biggest moneymaker in this country? Because we are a pleasure-obsessed society. Okay? This world teaches that the most important thing is that anytime you want, you have pleasure. We don't buy that. Second one is possessions. World teaches you, oh man, you gotta get that new CD. You gotta get a stereo for your car. You're gonna drive around in a car without a stereo? You are not going to have those new shoes. No, you need a new pair of shoes. It's been like 3 months since you bought a pair of shoes. You need a new pair. That's what the world teaches you. The world teaches you that you need to buy stuff that you don't need with money that you don't have. Okay? That's what the world teaches you. Credit cards. Credit cards. Whatever. Pleasure. Shh. World teaches you, you must have pleasure, you must have possessions, and the one that probably hits us very hard in high school is popularity. Alright? World says, if you're not popular, you're missing out on life. Alright? It's this whole image is everything. Alright? And another way to look at it amongst us guys is respect. You know what respect is, right? So, they gotta respect me. And it's... I gotta be respected. And I'm telling you this, I've seen this with some of you in here. And I've seen some people who are older than you. I used to serve, like I told you, like back when these guys were in 7th and 8th grade. So I've been around this group for a while. And I've seen people literally change overnight their image. All of a sudden they decided, no, now I'm a tough guy. Where were you? Last week you were a nice guy. How come you're a tough guy now? Well, I gotta get respect. And I gotta be this. Okay? And you see people trying to, like, look one way or act one way or this and that, and you're like, where did this come from? Last week you were fine. Like, where did this come from? Because the world teaches that people gotta respect you. And you gotta be tough. And you gotta be cool. You can't let anyone talk to you like that. You know? That's what the world teaches. And it's everywhere that you see it on the TV, everywhere in the movies. The world tells you that you got to have pleasure, possessions, or popularity. Well, we don't buy that, right? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. So we here together say, you know what? We don't buy that. That's not going to lead me to this life. That's going to lead me to this life. So I got to choose my values. I got to say, I don't want to have my values in the TV. So no matter what the TV says, I don't want to believe it. TV lies all the time. TV is all about deception. Let's play a little game now. The game is called What's the Lie Game. Have you played this game before?
Yes.
Okay, we played the game before. So you watch a TV commercial. Every TV commercial is a lie. You got to figure out what it is when you're watching. So let's see. You see a commercial with a beautiful lady who's dressed like that and all that kind of stuff. And then she gets into this nice car and then she looks, or she sees a guy driving a nice car and she sits in next to him. What's the lie there? Buy this car and beautiful ladies will flock all over if you buy this car. You see a commercial that says, you see a picture of, you know, some guy and he's like, you know, fat and this and that, and then Kobe Bryant comes with the Sprite, drinks the Sprite and starts jamming all over him. What's the lie? Drink Sprite and you'll be a great basketball player. Where'd that come from? Bottom line is, everything on the TV lies to you. Wear this cologne and you'll be the most popular person. That's not true. Buy this car and you'll have all kinds of friends. That's not true either. Those are all lies that the world tries to tell us. Remember, the thief's job is to trick you, right? So he wants to trick you, so he shows you stuff that ain't true to try to throw you off the right track. Okay? Bottom line is, no matter what the world is selling, the world can never offer this. The world can only offer a temporary happiness. It's like candy. I like eating candy. And my favorite kind of candy is gummy worms. I love gummy worms. Anyone like gummy worms? All right, Beach is with me. All right? So I have this problem. Maybe you guys can help me out. I think I need like therapy for this. If you ask Marianne, I definitely need therapy for this. Which is, I know that when I eat a whole bag of gummy worms, I'm going to feel sick the next day. I know it. Every single time, I see the gummy worms, and I just can't stop eating. And then next day, I get sick. Or that night, I get sick. And Marianne looks at me, she's like, you know, eating the gummy worms is going to make you sick, but you know what? You just can't resist. They're just so good and so sweet, and they're yummy and everything, and they're just so delicious.
Like that Simpsons.
The Simpsons episode? Oh, with the sandwich.
No, the candy convention.
Candy convention. Oh, that was another good one.
You
know what? All the stuff that the world is selling is exactly like those gummy worms. Oh man, they taste good. And they are scrump diddly umptious. But you know what? They're always going to leave you sick. They are always going to leave you sick. And they are never, no matter how many gummy worms I eat, am I ever going to be satisfied? Am I ever going to get to the point where I say, I've had enough gummy worms, no more gummy worms, I don't want anything more sweet in my life? No. No matter how many gummy worms I eat, I'm always going to wake up the next day sick. And then the next day, I want more gummy worms. That's everything the world offers. You get pleasure today, you're going to get sick, and then you'll want more pleasure the next day, and you'll never be satisfied. Same thing with possessions. You get a new CD today, a new CD is going to come out next week. You try to be popular, there's always going to be someone who's more popular. Always going to be someone who tries to disrespect you, or this and that. That is never the solution to finding this life. So, the solution is right here. Remember, yesterday we said, he came to give us a life that's better than this. He came to say, what's your dream in life? What's the bestest thing that you could possibly imagine? Well, I can give you 10 billion times better than that. So the first step we say is, I want to follow him. Okay? I choose my source, that's my source for my values. Second step that you must do is clarify what's important. Clarify what's important. When I say clarify what's important, I mean you take a little piece of paper, you take a little pen in your little hand, and you write something down. So every one of you, in your quiet time or whenever, you write down what it is your values. These things are important to me. God, school, family, girls, friends, write down what's important to you. If you don't write down what's important to you, it doesn't mean you don't have values. It just means they're going to come kind of haphazardly. And that's what 99% of the world does, right? So you're born into a certain family. And it's hit or miss. You're born a different family than me, gives you different values than me, and it's pretty much hit or miss. And depending on where you went to school, where you were raised, you ended up with a certain list of values that compile you. And some of you, that's really good. Some of you, that's not very good. But the bottom line is, we want to take chance out of it. And we want to do it intentionally and on purpose. Usually, we don't think about our values until when? Until a crisis has happened. So last night I was telling you about my friend Andy, right? And he right now, he's got his values straight. But when did he start to think about them?
After it was too late.
Right? When it was a crisis. When he was in prison. When he was being sentenced. You know? By then it's too late. And you know what? You're going to do the same thing. Because I see people come to me. Oh, Buddha Anthony, this disaster happened. I don't know what to do. And I'm very sorry. And please help me and pray for me. And I'll be good. I promise I'll be good. I realize the world is trash. Okay, but it's too late now. What are you going to do about it now? Now it's too late, Paul Lee Mullen. Now it's too late. Okay? So what I'm saying is, don't do that. Don't be stupid. If you're smart, you figure out your values now before the crisis has happened. Don't wait to get caught by your parents to come and confess and say, I need to change this. Don't wait to be thrown out of school because you can't get up in the morning to go to class. Think about these things beforehand and say, what's going to happen to me if I never show up at school? What's going to happen to me if I continue in this relationship? What's going to happen to me if I continue this bad habit? Think about it before it's too late. Believe me, no one... Actually, I was just talking with someone about this. We were talking about... Smoking is the best example of this, right? So, I know people who are like... And there's one person in my mind right now, he's like... Let's say, you know, 24, 25, in that age. And he smokes. All right? And he hates it. He hates it because he's addicted and he's trying to stop for like 5 years now. Just cigarettes. Okay? Just talking about smoking cigarettes. He's been trying to smoke. He's been trying to stop smoking for like 5 years and he can't because he's addicted. Now, I guarantee you, now when this person started smoking, he didn't say, my goal is by 25, I'll be really addicted and smoking 2 packs a day. That's my goal. You think that's what he said? What did he say? Smoking's not that big a deal. He said smoking's not that big a deal. No crackhead on his first puff of marijuana said, I hope to be a crackhead by age 21. Yeah, but crack always starts with pot.
Okay.
We're not going to discuss this. Huh? Pot is marijuana. Anyone who's ever smoked crack always starts just by smoking marijuana because marijuana's not that big a deal. It's just a little bit here and there. It's not that big a deal. So what people do is say it's not that big a deal, but you know what ends them up? Ends them up in someplace very bad. So what I'm saying to you is don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot and just go through life saying, well, this is not that big a deal. Ask yourself, where is this going to take me in 5 years? Where is it going to take me in 3 years? Where is it going to take me next month if it continues like this? Now remember, I said that laying a foundation is not for the weak. It's not for the lazy. It's not for those who want to put no effort into it. This takes effort. And this is where there's going to be a line between the boys and the men. So what I'm saying is, you want to lay a foundation, you want this life, you get a little piece of paper, you get a little pen, and you write down what your values are. An easy way to do it is write this. Success to me is blank. And fill in that blank. What is success to you? What is it that you're going for? Success to me is 4.0 GPA. Well, you know what your values are? Grades. Success to me is being liked in a relationship with this girl. You know what your values are? It's popularity. Success to me is having my parents stop yelling at me all the time. Success, what is success to you? Each one of you gotta have something. I know there's more inside your heads than just sitting there playing video games all day. What is it that is success to you? You gotta think about it. The reason you gotta decide what it is, because I'm telling you, every single one of you, if you don't decide what it is, someone's gonna decide for you. Your friends will decide for you and say, no, success is when you do this. Or success is when you have this. Or success is when you accomplish this. Someone's going to decide for you unless you decide for yourself. So, try to figure out what success is. And let me give you a help and try to figure out what success is. All right, let me give you... Because sometimes people think that success is like an achievement. I don't think success is an achievement. I think success is... more of like a lifestyle, all right? So to me, success is knowing the will of God and doing it. That's simple. I know what God wants me to do, and I do it. Now, that's not a point in time. There, because of my definition, I can't say I'm successful on December 12th, 2004. I'm successful when I go outside, if I'm faced with a situation, what does God want me to do? And then I do it, that's success. And then I go to my house, what does God want me to do? And then I do it, that's success. And then I go to work, and what does God want me to do? And I do it, that's success. And that way you can always be successful. If your definition of success is a thing, is like an event, then you're going to get dogged. You're never going to be successful. Because there's always going to be someone who's smarter than you. Always going to be someone who's more athletic than you. Always going to be someone who's faster than you, stronger than you, this or that. You don't believe me? Ask Roger Maris. Roger Maris was a very successful man. He had a great success. He had 61 home runs in 1 year. Now he's no longer a success. Because Mark McGwire came around and hit 70. And then Barry Bonds came around and hit 71. So all those guys, if my measure of success was that I'm the home run king, and that's what makes me successful, well, I'm a failure now because I'm no longer the home run king. If my record of success is that I'm the fastest, there's always going to be someone who comes and breaks that record. Okay? Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. It says, the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That should tell you what success is. Real success is, again, knowing the will of God and acting upon it. If I have that as my measure, no one can take that from me. I can be successful in the middle of the desert when there's no one around and there's no nothing. I can be successful everywhere I go, anytime, any place, anywhere. Now, some of you may be sitting there and saying, you know what, Abuna Anthony? Okay, I buy that, but you can say that because you're a priest. Okay? You can say that success is not money because you pretty much, no real promotions for you. You're pretty much, you got a dead end job and you're pretty much going to be there for the rest of your life. No, you can't. So you may be saying, you got to say that because if you were driving around in a Lexus or a Ferrari, people would like yell at you or look at you funny, this and that. So that's why Boone Anthony is saying that. But me, you know, I got to get mine, I got to get respect and all that kind of stuff. Don't take my word for it. Okay? Don't take my word for it. Why don't we try to think, let's try to brainstorm here. Let's try to think of the person who has, someone who's got a lot of success. Someone who had a lot of money. Someone who has a lot of possessions. Someone who had all kinds of pleasure. Let's say women. Women flocked all over this guy.
Solomon.
Okay? This guy not only had women, not only had money, but let's say also prestige. Let's add the third P in there, where he's known around the world, and people just come from all over the world just to talk to him, and he's the most famous person. Who would you say fits that?
Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner? Who has more money than Hugh Hefner? More money than Bill Gates. More money than Brad Pitt. The answer is... Answer is, as David said, is King Solomon. Okay? So, oh, you guys are like, oh, King Solomon from the Bible. King Solomon, for those of you who don't know, you want a ladies' man? King Solomon had how many women at his fingertips?
17,000.
Well, I think it was 700, but that's okay.
17,000 concubines. He had 700 wives.
Okay, so we'll take David. He's the expert on this one. So David said, when you add the 700 plus the 1,700, that's 2,400 women. All right? Let's leave the concubines aside. Let's just stick with the 700 wives. He had 700 wives at his fingertips. That's a ladies' man, okay? Think about it. 700, that's a lot of people, okay? So he had 700 women, so there was no one who could say, yeah, he didn't have pleasure. He had all the women that he wanted. Well, what about money? There's no one who had more money than King Solomon. King Solomon brushed his teeth with a golden toothbrush. Alright? Everything on King Solomon was diamonds and jewels and gold and all this kind of stuff. Or what about prestige? No one was more well known than Solomon. You know, people would travel around the world just to come to Solomon and say, hey Solomon, give me some advice, give me some wisdom, give me a tip. No one had anything more than Solomon. Agree? Look what King Solomon said about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 2. He says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. If you want to find out what pleasure, what possessions, and what prestige and popularity will end you up in, go ask Solomon. Because I can honestly say, I don't have it. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have all that kind of stuff that he had, so I can't really be authority. But he had it. So ask him if you don't believe me, and he'll tell you. And he used the word there three times in that verse, which is vanity. What does vanity mean?
Childish.
Useless. Okay? Worthless. Vanity means, another word to use to describe it is chasing after the wind. Imagine if you see someone who's chasing after the wind. What would you say about that person?
Retard.
Yeah, you call him a retard. Because he is a retard. You can't chase the wind. You know what? It's the same thing. The same word, retard, applies to anyone who is trying to have real happiness and real joy in life by money and by pleasure and by prestige. It's the same thing as what King Solomon says.
Wait, then wouldn't he be contradicting himself if he said that all that is vanity?
No, because he said that at the end of his life. And he went his whole life trying to get as much money as he could get. Didn't make him happy. So he figured, let me get as many women as I can get. That didn't make him happy. And same thing with prestige. He had all of it. At the end of his life, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and said, you know what? I searched the world end over. And if you read it, go read it when you guys get home. You read especially chapter 2. He says, there was no pleasure that I denied myself. And all of that was vanity. It was useless.
If he was the wisest man ever on earth, wouldn't he have realized that before he had ever had anything?
Well, he was given the wisdom by God, but by the same token, he wasn't like supernatural or anything like that. So he was given wisdom, and his sin was that he disobeyed that wisdom, right? So he knew, for example, like at the very beginning was idol worship. Like he was tempted because of the women to worship idols, and he did, and that's where things took a downhill for him. Okay? So, first step, I choose my source. My source is here. You tell me what should be important. Second step, I sit down with him and I write down what success is to me. Now the third step is where it starts to get a little tricky. I gotta change my lifestyle. Change my lifestyle. And this is where, like I said in the beginning, I gotta match my talk to my walk. I gotta stop just talking a mean talk and saying success to me is this, 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 and that. And I gotta start doing the things that it takes in order to have that success. This is, if you ask me, one of the number one problems that we have in like our era right now. Which is people saying one thing and doing another. Are you okay, Carolus? What's going on here? Is everything okay? Okay, very good. I was concerned about you. All right, very good. Sorry. This is one of the biggest problems that we have, and I can see it very clearly in many, many of us now, which is we say one thing, and we do something completely different. I can ask every single one of you, how many of you, God is the most important thing in your life? Yes, all of us. Yes, God is number one in my life. When was the last time you prayed? Okay. On your own. And then I say, okay, well, what else is important to you? Is your family important to you? Yes, my family is very important to me, and I believe very much in family values. When was the last time you had dinner with your family? Bottom line is we need to match what we say to what we do. I bet you I could also ask each one of you, how many of you does it make a difference what other people think about you? How many of you care so much about popularity? Not me. Then let me ask you a question. How much time you spend thinking about what so-and-so is going to think when you say this? How much time you spend looking at how are they going to react when I do this? What I'm telling you is, we talk one thing, but sometimes we do something different. So the next step to laying the foundation is to matching these two up together. To change my walk to match my talk. Okay? And I've said this several times, that if you want to know how you can tell, how you can make these two things match, because it's very easy to say, yeah, God is really important, but it's really hard to prove, right? Well, let me make it really easy for you. I can prove it to you, each and every single one of you, what's the most important thing in your life. And I've said it many times. I can take three pieces of evidence. I can look at three items. Three things that every one of you got right now. I can look at those three things and tell you exactly what's the most important thing to you. Exactly where your success is. Do you know what those three things are? Those are your schedule, your money, and your friendships. Those are the three things that I can look at. First, let me see your schedule. Because I know everyone says, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. But God is really important. Well, if God is really important, when did you spend any time with God? Is God in your schedule? Is it the kind of thing where you say God's really important, but you spend no time with Him? Well, then I question how important He really is. If God is more important than TV, but I spend 8 hours a week with TV and 0 hours a week with God, hey, that doesn't work that way. Okay? You guys are going to get married one day, hopefully. All right? And it doesn't work that way. You say, yes, honey, sweetheart, you're the most important thing to me in the world, and then I don't spend any time with you. It doesn't work that way. If you know, if something is important to you, you spend time there. So ask yourself, how much time I spend with God? Number two, your money. That's how you're saying, what money? I'm broke. I ain't got no money. You got money for a new CD, didn't you? You found a way to get those new sneakers, didn't you? You found a way to get that poster, didn't you? You found a way to get something for your car, didn't you? Don't give me that garbage about I'm broke. I don't got any money. You got money. You got money for what you want to have money for. So what I'm saying is this. If you spend all your money on CDs, and you spend all your money on clothes, and you don't spend a dime on God, God isn't that important to you. That's the bottom line. It's very easy for me to say, yeah, God is really important, and then I don't give him any time, I don't give him any money. If God is really important, he would make a difference in your credit card statement or in your wallet. The last thing is your relationship, is your friendships. Let me see who you're friends with. Okay? Because you can tell a person by their friends. You tell me that you're friends with this group of people, and all this group of people loves to play basketball. I'm going to tell you, you probably like to play basketball as well. You tell me you're with this group of people, and they all love rap music. I'm going to tell you, you probably like rap music. You become like your friends. As much as we say, I'm independent and I'm my own person, nothing influences you and me and all of us more than our friends. You become exactly like who you hang out with. That's the truth. All right. So if you really love God, you would try to hang out with people who really love God. But don't tell me that I don't spend any time with God. I don't spend any money on God. And I don't hang out with anyone who likes God. But I love God. He's number one in my life. That's garbage. Okay? That's you lying to yourself. If God was really important, you'd make time in your schedule. You'd make time in your money. And you'd hang out with people who like to hang out with him. Now, in order to do that, you need to do what the next verse says, which is Psalm 119, verse 37. You need to turn away your eyes from looking at worthless things. And you can change that word. You can get rid of that eyes, all right? You turn away from worthless things. So that means, like I said, with your money, if you're not spending any money on God, and you want to start telling him how much you love him and you really appreciate him, and you want him to be number one, you need to stop. You need to turn away from worthless things. Stop wasting all your money on CDs. Stop wasting all your money on stupid stuff. Turn away from that stuff. Same thing with your schedule. You want to give time to God? Stop spending time all your time on IM. Stop spending all your time playing Xbox. Stop spending all your time just sleeping all day. Alright? Turn away from worthless things, because those things is garbage. Those things won't get you anywhere in life. Same thing with your friendships. Turn away from worthless friendships. Turn away from relationships that are just pulling you down and making you worse in life. Now some of you sit there and say, yes, Abuna Anthony, I'm with you. I want it. I gotta have that. But I tried. I can't. I tried to get away from that friendship. I tried to stop doing this. I tried to spend more time with God. I just can't. You know the verse for you? It's Philippians 4:13. I know you can't, but I know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Memorize that verse. And anytime you're in a situation where you feel like I just can't do it, you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm telling you right now that me, I'm a priest, I'm a boon, this and that. This verse is what gets me through a lot of days. This verse is what gets me through when I don't think I can make it another day. I don't think I can stay up. I don't think I can get up in the morning. And I don't think I can handle this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter how many times you failed, no matter how many times you messed up in life, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I choose my source. I write down what's important. I start to change my lifestyle. All right? And that's where I encourage you. This is where your small group really helps out, where you hold each other accountable. This is where you come and confess and say, Abuna Anthony, I want to change this aspect of my life, and I can hold you accountable, and all that kind of stuff. Now, the fourth and final step is I check my values regularly. Check my values regularly. Let's go back to the building example. So I laid a nice foundation, all right? And it's solid, and it's strong, and it's fireproof and waterproof and insulated and all that kind of stuff. And then I built the nice building and the wooden things and the chandelier and the things and all that kind of stuff. And I built the nicest building in the world. And then I close it up, and I leave for a year, and I come back. Do I expect it's going to be in good shape? Do I expect it's going to be brand new?
No.
No. It doesn't work that way. Because things need maintenance. Things get broken and things need to get fixed. Things aren't always perfect on the first try. I gotta come and regularly check. Okay, is this leaking? Okay, is that? And problems happen all the time. So you need to always be updating and checking and evaluating. It's the same thing with your spiritual life. You guys should come here to retreat and say, yes, I want to be good, and yes, I want to have that abundant life, and then go home and everything is peachy keen, and everything is fine. It doesn't work like that. This is step one. But you know what step two is? It's tomorrow. You know what step three is? Is the next day. And then step four is the next day after that. And it's an everyday kind of a thing. You need to check yourself and see, wait a minute, how am I doing here? I said on the retreat, I want this, I want that, and I want to stop this. How am I doing? Am I doing a good job? Or am I failing? You need to check yourself in three ways. Daily, weekly, and monthly. Okay? Daily, weekly, and monthly. First, daily. Each one of you, no matter how busy you think you are, you can find 2 minutes every single day to check your values. Okay, to see. You know what? Abu Anthony said that the world teaches about pleasure, possessions, and popularity. Am I following that or not following that? How about today? How was my day today? Well, today was a good day or today was a bad day. Check myself every single day. Doesn't take but 2 minutes. Weekly, I need to be involved in a small group. Because a small group is where the four of us get together and we say, Carlos says, you know what, I'm struggling with this problem and this. And Beeman and Danny and George and me say, okay, Carlos, we're going to help you out in this. And every you can ask Carlos, how are you doing in this? And is this getting better? And all that kind of stuff. And we're going to help each other out. So you need that for support. And third, you need your monthly checkup, which is what?
Confession.
Very good. Everyone should yell that out at the same time.
Confession.
Confession is not only for retreats. Okay? Confession is not only for retreats. Confession should happen much more regularly because it's your chance to get a checkup and to see where things are going. You are never going to grow in your spiritual life. This is very important. Okay? Everyone must listen to this. You will never grow in your spiritual life unless you have a relationship with your Father of Confession. Never. Never. You will never grow in your spiritual life unless you have a relationship with your Father of Confession. So, need to check our values. Who's going to be the number one person to try to distract me from spending time every day checking myself?
Thief.
Thief. Very good. Because the thief's going to say, no, you just confessed last retreat. No, you don't need to confess. Next week, confess. Maybe you'll probably sin a couple more times. Hold off until you finish the sin. He's going to say, no, you don't need to join a small group. Small group's for the nerds. Small group is dorky. You don't need to do that. Don't join a small group. He's going to say you're going to spend time every day checking yourself. Well, it's a waste of time. Okay, just do it every other day. Or you're busy, man. You got exams. You got stuff. You're tired. You work. You don't need to just waste your time doing all that. He's going to tell you every single one of those things. And I guarantee he's going to tell you that in your quiet time and every single time you try to spend time. But I'm telling you this. Look at the last verse. 1 Timothy 4:16. It says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What I'm saying is this abundant life, this is not a mind thing, okay? This is not a state of mind or a breathing thing or a yoga or anything funny like that. You want this? This takes hard work and it takes effort and it takes action. And if you are not doing the action, you're not putting it in, then you will never ever accomplish anything in life, all right? This is not for the weak. If you are very insecure in life and you say, you know what, I really care what other people think about me, it's going to be very tough for you to have this. Because this is only for people who stand up and say, you know what, I don't care what people think. I would rather live the abundant life, even if people look at me funny, because I know that this is better than this. Because this, all in the end, is just it's not real ice cream in the end anyway, it's just the appearance of ice cream. So I choose my source is there. I clarify what's important, I write down my values. I change my lifestyle, I see what my life needs to be changed, and the last thing I do is I check myself up on it every single day. Bottom line comes down to living by integrity, like Usher have said, which is doing what's right even when no one's watching, is matching your talk with your walk. You say this is important, is doing it. Don't be scared to do that. This is your chance. This door right here, okay? Like I said last night, this door is available to every single one of you right now. And I really hope that everyone decides to walk through this door. But I got a bit of bad news for you. If you leave this weekend, you leave the retreat this weekend, and you chose not to walk in this door, your chances of getting through here is not zero, but has slimmed down significantly. Because if you don't accept the rescue offer that's coming to you this weekend. If you listen to all this and you see the rope coming and saying, here, come on out, and you choose to ignore that, you're in big trouble. Because I don't know when the next rescue is going to come. And I'm really, really concerned about that. I don't want anyone to have that. All right? This group right here, you don't know where you are inside my heart here. But believe me, this group here, I find very, very special group. And I'm saying that from the bottom of my heart. Okay? This high school group, I was so touched this morning by the liturgy. Honestly, I was. I'm standing there in the altar, and I really felt God saying, you got some good people behind you. I really felt that. I really felt God saying, this group, okay, Buddha Anthony, Mike Pham, George, Mina, Ashraf, you guys are old. You're done. Who's going to change the world? It's not us. We're done, man. All right? Who's going to change the world? It's you guys that are going to change the world. You guys are the ones who are going to change the world. And when I think to myself, well, what about all the bad stuff and all the evil in the world? That makes me sad. But you know what? This is what makes me happy. And I really believe that the people who are going to change the world are sitting right here. Not all of you. Because some of you are going to say, you know what? Thank you, no thank you. And I know that some of you will choose that. But those of you who are listening, and those of you who say, I want that abundant life, and I want to get that, I'm telling you that you can have it all. I said this, I said this to the girls last week. There was a time... Wait, did I say this last night? I remember when I said it. Me and Marianne made a decision. I didn't say it last night. Me and Marianne made a decision in our life 3.5 years ago before we got married. You know what that decision was? That decision was never to settle for second best. That decision was to be the very best in everything we do. And we said, we don't want to have an ordinary marriage. We don't want to be like every other couple who, you know, this and that. We want to have the best. And we don't want to have ordinary spiritual lives. We want to have the best spiritual lives. And we don't want to have anything ordinary in life. We want everything to be extraordinary. And I'm telling you that when you decide you want things extraordinary in life, God honors that request. So what I'm telling you is I want you to have the same thing in life. Don't sit here and say, yeah, my goal is just to be middle of the pack. You know, some people go to church all the time. Some people never go. I'll kind of be in the middle there. Don't do that. Take the best. Don't settle for second best. I want each one of you to say, I want to have the very most abundant life. I want to walk through this door, and I don't want an ordinary life. I don't want anything close to an ordinary life. I don't want an ordinary marriage. I don't want an ordinary family. I don't want an ordinary anything in life. I want the best. Regardless of what my parents had, regardless of what my friends had, I want the very best. And I promise you, every single one of you can have it. I promise you that every single one of you can have it. All it takes is you to decide that that's what I want to get. And I'm committed to getting it, and I will choose where my value is going to come from. I will figure out what's important to me. I will get rid of all the things that don't match that, and I'll check myself up on it every single day. Your chance to start off on this foundation is here this weekend, and specifically in the prayer meeting tonight. Now, this prayer meeting tonight, I want everyone to take really seriously. All right, and I kind of talked to some of you, we sat and talked before. Forget about if you never prayed in your entire life. Forget about it. It doesn't matter. This is a chance. You get together. Everyone around you is praying, and it's much easier to pray when you have people around you praying. You find a way, you close your eyes, and you get straight with God. And you say, God, I want to get straight with you. I want that abundant life. I'm sick and tired of this garbage. And I don't want my life to be ordinary. I want a supernatural, extraordinary life. I challenge each one of you to do that, and I promise you, Promise you, you can get it. Don't waste this prayer meeting. Don't waste this retreat. You may have wasted the whole year, but don't waste today. Okay? Any questions? Okay. Let's stand up for prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Truly, dear Lord, we can sing of your love forever. We thank you, dear Lord, from the depth of our heart for this time that you gave us. I thank you, dear Lord, that you called us here this weekend, each one by name, that you took us out of our homes, and that you brought us here to rescue us. You brought us here because you love us. You brought us here because you care that we don't live an ordinary life. An ordinary life like the rest of the world lives is full of garbage, that's full of depression, that's full of all kinds of mess, dear Lord, that we don't want to deal with. We hate, dear Lord, any time that we spend away from you. And we're so happy that you brought us here this weekend. I know, dear Lord, that you have a special plan for every single one of my brothers who's standing before you, and I truly feel from the depth of my heart, dear Lord, that I am blessed to be with them. Please, dear Lord, strengthen them. Please, dear Lord, give them to stop thinking the way the world thinks, and let their mind not be conformed to the way the world thinks, but to only think the way you want us to think. Give us, dear Lord, to be your sheep, And whatever it is that you tell us to do, dear Lord, we promise we will obey. Because each one of us doesn't want to live an ordinary life. We want the best. We want the greatest. We want the most supernatural. And we want the most blessing in life. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to resist the temptations of the thief, because you know how he's trying to steal every single one of us. And you know, dear Lord, how he's trying to distract us. We know that you have come to give us life. So thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for this time. Thank you for our group here. Thank you for the servants who prepared everything for us. Thank you, dear Lord, for each and every single person who's standing before you. Help them tonight, dear Lord, to really communicate with you and to really touch you and to really feel your presence. We ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the intercessions of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, the prayers of St. Mark, and all of your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.